This evening will come from John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68. John 6, verses 66 through 68. I'll be reading from the English Standard. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life."
I trust you have a copy of the handout, certainly an open Bible. I would want you to be flipping through your Bible to follow along. One reason why we have a handout, you get a chance to do that and read along with me. We above all want to point to God and His Word and hopefully find some things that will help us to live better for Him. The lesson tonight is one of those lessons that you have so many possible applications. It can go a long ways, and you may want to take the seed that we put out tonight and think about other areas. I've titled my lesson, "The Challenge of Expectations." And it's interesting. We as humans, we have expectations. You here tonight visiting, you may have some expectations. I don't know what they may or may not be. They could be directed through the Lord. They could be maybe your experience from some other situation. I sometimes joke with people about the length of my sermon, and we kind of have a little fun about that. I do try at times to try to hold it within a certain length, but if somebody is coming tonight hoping for a 20-minute lesson, your expectations may not be met. But we have that with many, many things. And let's talk about that. When we talk about living, we need wisdom. And wisdom allows us to learn how to live. You want to have misery? Have a lot of false expectations and go through life miserable because you really don't know how life is to be lived, how things work. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions." You see, what we want to do above all is be right with God and see the world as He sees it. One of the terrible tragedies in life of why many people reject the gospel, do not serve Him, is they create their own reality in their mind. Our minds are very, very powerful, and they can be misled. You live in your own fantasy world and live your whole life in a fantasy world. The Bible describes the battle, and Jesus also talks about it in His ministry, about battle for the heart, the battle about how we think, how we view things. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." When we talk about expectations, the one thing I will say tonight, want truth. Want to see what things really are. There are people that don't want to see truth, and therefore they expect people to tell them what they want to hear. But if you're a child of God, you really want to see. It's interesting as we talk about, there were people that listened to Jesus and did not hear Him. Matter of fact, Jesus said there were those He looked at and He says, "You're not going to be able to hear what I say to you." Why is that so? Well, Satan had poisoned their minds. In John 8:43, it says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." And notice verse 45. "But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." There are all kinds of people in this world. They expect others to tell them what they want to hear. And if you come up to them and you tell them the truth, you're going to be shut out in a hurry. John 3:19-21 talks about the contrast of people who hate the light. Are your expectations to want to know God and let God mold you and change you? We need truth. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about the heart. It's very interesting. One reason why people sometimes do not find truth is because they've got some heart issues and some areas you might not suspect. It's interesting that many people, they end up fearful of truth because of their own view of themselves and view of others. And let's talk about this. We talk about our own thoughts and motives. I want you to consider two words that Jesus talked about, the Old Testament talks about. It's the nature of God. These two words are justice and mercy. Let's look at a few verses and let's talk about it. Hosea 2:19, here God is speaking, and he says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice and loving kindness and mercy. You know one thing about my God, he's just, he's fair. He will listen, he will know. He's not going to be prejudiced by somebody else. He's not going to have some ulterior motive. He cares for us. Justice is beautiful. Hosea 12:6. So you, by the help of your God, return, observe mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually. That idea of mercy is one who is very compassionate, not quick to judge. Here's one that wants the best for others. Here's one that will put the best interpretation on something. Here is somebody who wants truth, and they also are very kind toward others. They're not the judge, jury, and executioner that the world is. Now consider the Pharisees as Jesus talked about them and their misplaced priorities and what their heart was like. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the undone, without leaving the others undone. You know, I've seen things in courtrooms that have shocked me, and I continue to be shocked. It hurts when justice does not prevail. That's the nature of men. That is the nature of prejudice. These things happen. Have you ever had somebody tell things about you that weren't true? Have you had others believe that about you that weren't true? Have you had situations where maybe your reputation has been hurt and you have not done anything wrong, but people accepted it? There was no justice. You see, we as God's people, above all, we need to appreciate justice, and we really want to be fair. We want to be merciful. You may say, Larry, you're talking about false expectations or expectations. What are you talking about here? I want to talk to you about our tendency to believe something and refuse to correct that false belief or expectation and end up becoming angry and becoming the judge, jury, and executioner of others. Well, this is very, very practical. Let me show you. Let's talk about God first. Do people have false expectations of God? Well, yes. People all the time think that God's going to do this. If this happened, God will do this. And God will never do something to me. Now I'm going to tell you something. God wants us to know what he does and doesn't do. And God really wants us to have realistic expectations of him. Let me mention a name. I guess we talk about age here. Ted Turner used to be a well-known name. I guess it maybe still be if you're an Atlanta Braves fan. You know, you got Turner Field and things like that. He created CNN. But Ted Turner was an agnostic or atheist, and he was very vocal about it. Let me just read to you. It's in the outline. Why did he reject the idea of God? Here from this article it says, Turner mentioned that he was raised in a God-fearing family and had a sister who was ill. Her illness progressed and she became critical. He prayed desperately the Lord would spare her life and make her well. She died. Then Ted told the audience that from then on he knew, even as a kid, that there was no God up there. What kind of loving God would have allowed her sister to suffer and die? I understand that emotion. We all at times will probably have that emotion, why God, when we have something happen to us. But where Ted Turner made a terrible mistake is that he thought he knew what God was going to do and what God was like, and he drew some conclusions not based on evidence but on emotion. If you take some time to look at God's scripture and not just emotionally write God off. God talks about suffering. He talks about why suffering exists. He talks about eternity. He talks about how with a living faith that this world is not just. Bad things happen to good people, but God's got a plan. Ted Turner didn't look at any of that. He had a false expectation of what God was going to do. He didn't correct that expectation. As a result, he rejected God. Who's the loser there? Psalm 73, you might want to look at this one. This one has encouraged me over the years. Have you ever thought of quitting? Have you ever thought you were the only one serving God? Have you ever gone through the pity party and you're thinking, well, look at this, everybody else is doing well, I'm doing right, and I'm getting the short end of the stick. Have you ever felt that way? Well, what happens sometimes when we start thinking that way, we have false expectations of what a Christian life is. That's why I like to read about others who have these false expectations and they got out of them. Listen to Asaph, Psalm 73:11. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Here are agnostics, evil people. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Now here's he thinking about himself. Look at verse 13. Surely I've cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Now notice words, he's got that pity party going. Woe is me, everything's bad. All these other people, everything's good. Now look at verse 15. If I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood therein. Let me tell you something about false expectations. They're painful. When it doesn't work out like you thought it's going to do, it's painful. Let me have you deal with the false expectations. Go to God. And here Asaph understood, oh, silly me. I'm just looking at this life. I'm not looking at the end of life. I'm not looking at eternity, you see. Many people have made false concepts about how God works because they didn't go to God. Let's talk about Jesus. What would you think the ministry of Jesus was like? You know, it's interesting, the ministry of Jesus, when he first started preaching, he was the latest fad, and I think I could rightly say that. Now, he wasn't a fad, but the people's view of him was almost like a fad. Here's something new, the Messiah is here. Now, they would be right about him being Messiah, but do you know where they had false expectations? You know what they thought that the Messiah was going to do? They didn't realize that Jesus came to ruin the hearts of men and he wasn't a political leader. They wanted somebody to throw off the Romans. They wanted somebody to be able to bring riches to them. They wanted to live and eat, drink, and be merry and be the most powerful nation on earth. And that was not God's plan, but they thought it was. They had false expectations. Now, let me tell you something about Jesus. He saw these people praising him. You're great. We'll follow you anywhere. And notice what Jesus said about him, John 2:23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name because they saw the signs, which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You know what Jesus knew? At this point, these people were shallow. And even though they said they believed, they really didn't understand. You know, sometimes it's interesting as you talk about how sometimes people get really excited. You know, as a preacher over the years, you know what I found? And again, I don't want to say this in any bad way, but just the way people are. Sometimes when you're the new preacher coming in, particularly if a congregation have had some struggles, sometimes people are really excited about you coming and they praise you and they're so enthusiastic about you, and that's not necessarily bad, but you know what I've learned? Sometimes people doing that, how could I say, they have false expectations. And I've oftentimes had the people who praise me the highest when I first come in sometimes be the most disappointed with me. And I'm not saying maybe some of those expectations were good.